Okay, rejoice. Thank you for that music and that song. You're getting me a little excited back there, so let me calm down for a minute before I get started here. But I'm excited to be here. It's been a few years since I've been to Myrtle Beach. I used to come here almost every year for a few years in a row, so it's good to be back. Good to see some familiar faces out there that I haven't seen yet. And also trying to remember some names that I forgot, so I apologize for that. Just remind me of that name when I see you during the next 8 days or so. So they're giving me a little break. I actually asked for it. I wanted to go to one feast site this year and stay there the whole time. So you guys got me. So you're stuck with me. So good to be here. Thank you for that. Let's see now. Rejoice. I said to rejoice, and I'm about to bring you down a little bit with my sermon. But I'll pick you up at the end, okay? We'll pick you back up at the end. And sometimes we got to deal with reality as it is. So when I look back on my history in the church, I can remember in about 1989, I got really excited because what happened in 89? What went down in 89? Yeah, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Berlin Wall went down. And again, I was never in Worldwide Church of God, but I used to read their literature since the late 70s, early 80s. So this was a significant occurrence based upon literature that I had been reading for a number of years. Now, it's been 27 years since then, folks. And when that happened, I was really excited. And I was a lot younger then also. And didn't know as much as hopefully I know today, but something else happened recently, didn't it? That has to do with what they used to talk about, and that was the UK, the Brexit, as they call it, the United Kingdom coming out of the European Union. Now, I know there are different views in the church, all right? I know there's a number of different views now on what's going to happen with prophecy, but here's the thing we all got to remember. We don't know. We don't know. We don't have all the answers. Remember, the folks who thought they knew 2,000 years ago did what? They killed Christ. And they knew that law better than anybody else. And he was right there in front of them. And they did not know who he was. So we all need to remember that. All right? But yes, it's interesting to look at what's happening in the world. It's interesting to look at prophecy because it says to watch. We should be watching. We should be looking. But let's be careful with our doctrinal feelings about what may happen. So having said that, prefacing what I'm about to say, keep that all in mind as I talk about what I want to talk about today. Now, when we see this Brexit, when we see the UK leaving the European Union, and they're still in the throes of that right now, it's still occurring. And I know there are different views about what that means and what it could mean, et cetera, et cetera. And I still believe there's something to the United States and Britain in prophecy. I believe there's something to that. I don't believe it exactly the way it was taught in Worldwide, and you can talk to me later if you want to talk about that, but I'm not going to get into the details of that. I want to get into something we can't deny that relates to that, something you cannot deny that relates to that. The United States is the most Christian nation in the world. You cannot deny that fact. When you look at just numbers, there are more Christians in the United States than any other country in the world. That's a fact. Another fact is the United States sends more Christian missionaries, has more Christian missionaries, evangelizes more than any other nation in the world. That is a fact you cannot deny. And that's important. When you begin to see what God says in His Word about those who are His people or claim to be His people, just like ancient Israel was God's people, claimed that mantle, took it upon themselves, and what happened? They could not maintain it, and they were destroyed because of it. So I got some sad news for you, but we know there's some happy news at the end of it. But we got to look at the reality of things, because we need to have an answer for folks when we start talking about things. So let's make sure we understand that reality. I want you to turn to Galatians 3, verse 9 for a moment. Let's take a look at a scripture that we can't deny, folks. You can't get around this. Galatians 3 and verse 9. Galatians 3 and verse 9 says the following. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What's this scripture telling us? It's telling us if you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. You are heirs according to the promise. You are connected to all that that's in the Old Testament. So when you claim to be Christian, this relates to you. Your New Testament says that. That cannot be denied. Right, Wayne? That cannot be denied. We can talk about that other stuff and discuss that later, but I want to deal with what you cannot deny today. Turn over to Ephesians 3 and verse 6 for a moment. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. And there are other scriptures. I'll give you one more right here. Ephesians 3 verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Can't get around that, folks. Who are the Gentiles? We're part of it. We're part of it. The United States is part of it. Because when you become part of the United States, when you're a citizen of the United States, no matter what ethnic background you have, you're a citizen of this predominantly Christian nation that claims to be Christian, that's history is about Christianity and the Judeo-Christian ethic that was set up on that foundation and has maintained that. When you watch them in Congress and you see the president put his hand on the Bible, why do they do that? Where does that come from? In God we trust on the coins? We are the predominant Christian nation in the world. We now hold the mantle that Israel held in the Old Testament. You can't get around that. And if you think you can, talk to me later. I'd like to hear your point of view. I'm open. You got to listen to each other. You got to listen to each other even when you disagree. That's why we're so confused in the Church of God today. We're not listening to each other anymore. We got to listen to each other even when you disagree. That makes you stronger. That builds your character. That refines you. It's not easy to get along with people, especially when you don't agree with them. Think Christian Muslim, we got issues Christian, we got issues Church of God. And that's not what he's talking about in this book when he says rejoice. We got work to do. And if you come back on Sunday, I'll talk about the work you got to do. But today I'm setting up Sunday. So I think we've set up the fact that the United States is, you could say, in a spiritual sense, modern day Israel from looking at those two scriptures I just gave you. Just from those two scriptures. If we claim to be of the God known as YHWH, which is what Christianity claims, We're the most Christian nation in the world. We have the most people going out speaking about God to the world. We are the lead in that regard. And I know there are Christians in other parts of the world, but I'm stating facts to you that I researched before I got here. Those are facts. The United States is the most predominantly Christian, with more Christians in this country than any other country in the world. Now, if that is the case, folks, are we following the YHWH in this Bible? Are we doing what He's telling us to do? Are we moving closer to Him, or are we trending away from Him? And here's the deal. If we're trending away, as I will claim today, we're looking for a big fall. We're looking for a cataclysmic fall. That's what your Bible says. That's what your Bible says. Let's take a look at it. Let's go back to Leviticus 18 for a moment. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. This is the law that Moses got to the nation of Israel from the great God we all serve. Leviticus 18:22. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. Leviticus 20 and 13. If a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. In 2015, the United States made homosexual marriage legal. We legalized it. Our government, our country said, this is okay. This is okay. God's word says the diametric opposite of that. That was only in 2015. Are we trending towards Him or away from Him? Towards Him or away from Him? Now, something that's even more important is, in 2010, polls said about 50% of the United States population was okay with gay marriage. About 50% in 2010. The most recent polling data I've seen, 2015, has it 60% is okay with homosexual marriage. And it's the law of the land. And it happened very quickly, folks. If you can remember the first couple states that legalized it not too long ago, it's only been about 5 years before it was legal throughout the entire nation. Now, I'm not getting on homosexuals here. I'm getting on sin. I'm getting on what God said sin is. Because listen, I got something for everybody in this audience today. Not just the homosexuals. I know some homosexuals whose hospitality, whose connection with people is through the roof. It's like, wow, I wish I could be like that in relating to people and connecting with people and being nice to people. Honest. I've met a couple, know a couple, who got that going on. And that is a characteristic of God. So don't forget, it's the sin, folks, not the people. It's the sin, not the people. Everyone has the potential to become a child of God and be in His family. And more importantly, He wants everyone to become a child of God and be in His family. Are we trending towards Him or away from Him? Deuteronomy 22:5. Are we getting closer to the kingdom? Are there signs out there? Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. So just think about that statement in relation to what's in the news right now. I just drove through North Carolina yesterday. I didn't know 40 miles of 95 was shut down. Did some detours. Thought I was supposed to be in North Myrtle Beach because I didn't see the comma, then the word north. Ended up going back into North Carolina last night or last afternoon before I finally got here. But that's another story. But in the, North Carolina. So in the state of North Carolina, they had a law that said if your birth certificate says you're male, you go in the male bathroom. If the birth certificate says you're female, you go in the female bathroom. And what happened when that law came out? Big business said, we're not going to do business. Some of big business said, we're not going to do business with you, North Carolina. The NBA, National Basketball Association, said, we're not going to play our all-star game in North Carolina. Major Hollywood stars and rock musicians said, we're not going to play in North Carolina. And it was all over the news, right? Who missed that story? You guys probably know Bruce Jenner. 1976 Olympics. He's the guy. Wow, I remember watching it. Bruce Jenner, man. I wish I could do what Bruce does. Now he calls himself Caitlyn Jenner. Okay? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. I believe that when we look at homosexuality and we look at transgender, there's a lot going on there, not only psychologically, but some of it may be hormonal imbalances through the fetus, ingesting hormones from the mother because of stress. There's all kinds of different reasons for some of that. But the reality remains that it's still sin and it can be overcome. Because is there anybody out here that doesn't lust or hasn't lusted? Anybody want to raise their hand and claim that? Okay, I didn't think so. So you see what I'm saying here is sin hits heterosexuals too. There are sins that heterosexuals are dealing with. And then there's this other category of sin. It's a very complex area. We don't have time to get into it today, but I know that what my Bible said is truth. So I need to understand it from that perspective. So it is against God's law. Yet, let me read you some statistics once again. I believe this is important. 60% of U.S., and again, I'm focusing on the U.S., 60% of U.S. citizens, according to polling, says that transgenderism is okay. If you feel like you want to be a female and you're a male, 60% of our colleagues in the United States are saying that's okay. 60%. That's over half. Are we trending towards the kingdom? Or are we trending at least for a fall in this country? I told you I wasn't going to leave you guys out here. Let's talk a little bit about adultery. Not looking at anybody here, okay? But don't forget this. It can occur in your brain. It can occur in your mind. Married person begins to think about it. It's adultery. No one is good. No, not anyone. Except you know who. Well, let's look at some stats. But first, let's go to the truth. Let's go to the truth. Exodus 20 and verse 14. Exodus 20 and verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Pretty basic and plain there. Now, what about the United States and adultery? Well, let me begin. Any Canadians in the room? Anybody come down from Canada today? Okay, so there's a Canadian company, and I don't mean to, you know, I'm just playing around here, okay? There's a Canadian company called Ashley Madison. Has anybody heard of it? Okay. You know what they promote? Adultery. You know how many people submitted personal information to become members of Ashley Madison when it was still going pretty good, because they had some issues, if you know. They were hacked and personal information was put out there of people who were members. Let me give you a figure here. 33 million people were members of Ashley Madison. 33 million people went to a website because they wanted to commit adultery or something. Wow, that's a lot of folks. Get these stats. According to stats, and again, we can't know for sure, right? Can't know for sure because some people commit adultery, never found out, right? So they say 30 to 60%, let's go back to the U.S., between 30 and 60% of married males and females in the United States have committed adultery. 30 to 60%. Again, once you start getting over half, folks, there's some problems there. But here's an interesting poll I found. I was doing all this research here. This was a more interesting poll for me. Getting back to that thing about your mind I was talking about, whereas where sin begins. Because what did Jesus do? What did Yeshua the Messiah do when he came to this earth? He put it up a notch. He said, let me tell you what the law is really like. It's not just this exactly. It is that which is in the Old Testament. But let me give you more. Let me give you more about what you thinking leads you to sin. So get this poll. This was interesting. They asked married men and women, if you would not be caught, and you knew you would not be caught, how many of you think you would commit adultery then? If you knew there'd be no repercussions. But as Christians, we know there are repercussions, right? Because we follow YHWH, right? We know what he's telling us rather than what the world is telling us. Get these numbers. 74% of men would do it if they would not be caught. Women, you aren't too far behind. According to this poll, it said 68% of women said if they would not be caught, they would do it. Remember what I said at the beginning of this sermon. This nation claims the mantle of Christianity, of belief in Jesus Christ, more so than any other nation in the world. Yet 70, 68% of our people are saying, well, if I didn't get caught, why not? That's a problem. That's a problem. And these numbers seem to be trending upward. Let's not quit on this, folks. Let's keep going. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Let's pull out the dirty linens, folks. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. This is a reality check for the United States and for you and me. For you and me. Because we're here. Because by golly, we do claim to follow that God, don't we? We wouldn't be here if we really didn't have some intensity about being here. It's not easy to get away from work, to give up work, to come and serve God here, is it? I've heard stories over the years. So we need to be about our P's and Q's. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You are a future king and priest, like Wayne posed up here. We sometimes don't get that. We don't get that sometimes because we're living in the dirt. We're living in the mire like worms going through the dirt. Get a handle on who you proclaim to be. And when you start thinking that every day, as Wayne said, brain science is learning unbelievable things about our brains. When you begin to believe something and think something over and over consistently, day in and day out, your brain changes towards that. You can change your brain. And that's where your consciousness is. That is where, quote unquote, I believe, the spirit in man is, that connects with God's Holy Spirit. That's why the mind and what you think is so important. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard it was said, do not commit adultery. We read it, right? But notice what Jesus Christ said. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Woo! That's a tough one. Guys, you want to be honest with me? That's okay, you don't have to. Okay? You want to be honest with me? That's a high standard, folks. But why is it a high standard? Because of who you have the potential of becoming. Don't lose sight of who you are. He says you can have it. Don't let it go. In the late 60s and early 70s in the United States, there were a few adult movies out there. And they were written about. And it was an event that this was out there. Today, folks, there's an entire industry in the United States that promotes pornography, that makes billions of dollars each year. Now, here's the crazier thing. It's not just that industry, folks. People in their own homes are creating their own porn sites and putting it out there for the world to see. They've created their own businesses on the internet. The internet's a great invention, folks, but it's the worst of times and the best of times, as they say. Who knows how much is really out there when you begin to think of the people who are getting money and aren't involved in that quote-unquote porn industry that I just mentioned to you. Who's got one of these? I remember as a kid reading the sports pages. I'm about 12 or 13. I'm reading the newspaper every day at about age 12 or 13. And I'm reading the sports. I'm a sports nut, okay? Always reading the sports page. Every time I got the paper in the sports page, there was a little section somewhere in the paper that said XXX. Come down to this part of the city. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the time. And you can see these movies. XXX. XXX. That was the only place you could see that sort of thing, folks, that I was aware of. And I didn't go see it, okay, as a little kid. Understand that. But here's what I'm trying to say. That's where people went to see that 20, 30 years ago. Folks, how many of you have one of these today? Raise your hand if you've got a cell phone, computer at home. Okay, you get what I'm saying here, right? It's ubiquitous now. It's everywhere. If you want it, it's right in your hand. You can walk down the street with it. You can hide it. You don't even have to go to the movie house downtown in the whatever district it's in. It's happening right here in the good old USA. The good old USA. It's blowed up. Blowing up. And what does the Bible say about that? Hosea 4. Hosea 4. It's everywhere. You have teenagers wearing t-shirts now that say porn star on it. It's part of the culture, folks. It's not like, oh my goodness, that's terrible anymore. It's like, that is normal now. You're not into that? I hear folks on the radio driving into work on a sports talk show talking about the porn they've been watching the night before. It's talked about like you talk about going to the park tomorrow or whatever you may do. It's become part of the culture. It's ingrained. Are we trending towards God or away? Hosea 4:10. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not increase, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding. Takes away your understanding, folks, of what? Takes away your understanding of what? When sex becomes your idol. Takes away the idea of family, which is what God is all about. That's what sex is for. Yeah, once you got the marriage, have some fun with it, okay? But when you don't, takes away the knowledge of what God is doing with you and me in this world. Let's go further here. Hosea 4, verse 12. Of my people, they consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings in the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. Folks, turn with me to 1 Kings 14, verse 24. 1 Kings 14 and verse 24. What are we reading about? Who are the prophets railing against? Ancient Israel and Judah. What do we read in 1 Kings and Chronicles? What ancient Israel and Judah were doing. Who is the United States today if we claim to be Christian? We are spiritual Israel. We are Abraham's seed. Regardless of what you think about the physical aspects of that and British Israelism, I'm not even dealing with that today. I'm just dealing with what your Bible says about people who claim to follow the YHWH. 1 Kings 14:24. 1 Kings 14:24. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. They were even male prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. The nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. The big deal with God was, don't mess with those people because of the practices they have. Because of the beliefs they have. I don't want a synergistic religion. My religion is my way. I tell you what it is. You don't decide for yourself. But Israel said, no, it's okay. We can do some of this. We can do some of that. We can mix it up a little. They still claim to follow the YHWH, even when they were doing all these other detestable practices. They still worshiped Yahweh. They did. They still worshiped Him. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power. And what do our congressional leaders do today when they put their hand on the Bible or they are inaugurated in as president or whatever it may be? They say, yeah, that's the book, that Judeo-Christian thing, but what's really going on up here? What do they really believe, folks? Are we trending away or towards God? Let's look at another one, folks. Jeremiah 32. And I could go on all day, and I won't. I won't. But let's look at a couple others before I start to take this in another direction. Jeremiah 32 and verse 30. Jeremiah 32. And verse 30, Jeremiah 32:30. The people of Israel and Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. Indeed, the people of Israel have done nothing but provoke me with what their hands have made, declares the Lord. From the day it was built until now, this city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. The people of Israel and Judah have provoked me by all the evil they have done. They, their kings and officials, their priests and prophets, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. They turned their backs to me and not their faces. Though I taught them again and again, they would not listen or respond to discipline. They set up their abominable idols in the house that bears my name. You get that? They set up abominable idols in Yahweh's house. Idols to other gods and defiled it. They built high places for Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech. To sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech. To sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech. Let's go back to 1973 in the good old USA. Roe versus Wade. Abortion is now legal. And since 1973, 54 million fetuses, let me use the politically correct language, although I believe that's a son or daughter, 54 million sons and daughters in the United States have been sacrificed to what? To feelings, to emotions, to selfishness, to many things. There can be reasons that people have. I don't understand a 14-year-old girl who's never had parents that taught her anything about God and gets pregnant. I can't relate that experience. So let me be honest about this. Who's got friends and family members telling her, oh, you got to have an abortion. You got to have an abortion. Your life is ruined if you don't. Someone who's never heard about God or understands what I just read in that book. Because here's the other thing about God, folks. He's a God of judgment, but He's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy, and we cannot ever forget that part of it. We're good on the judgment a lot, or at least I've heard. I was never in Worldwide, and I'm sure there was mercy there too. But He's a God of mercy, and don't you ever forget that. Because when you remember that, it impacts how you deal with people who need to hear about the true God. If you hate homosexuals, folks, how are you going to get them to Jesus? How are you going to interact with them if you hate them? The book still says He wants all A-L-L to be saved. So yeah, I get the sin part, but I also get the mercy. We're lucky. We're lucky our minds are open. I might have been an anarchist at age 18 when I think about it, folks. My mind was starting to go in those directions. I got a problem with this world. This is crazy. Lucky for me, boom, I started reading the literature and all that energy was and passion was put in the right direction. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Why do we say this is sacrifice, folks? Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Because the Bible is truth. That's what I believe. I believe it's truth. And it says this in Jeremiah 1, 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Read that again. When you're having a real conversation with someone and you're counseling someone who needs to know that they should not commit that abortion, you need to read this scripture and try to explain it to them. 54 million. You know, there's about 320 million in the United States right now. Think about that number. 54 million, folks. How much longer is God going to deal with this? Now, some are going to say, Mike, wait a minute. Abortions are dying the last few years. There's about 700,000 now a year instead of 1.1 million or 1.2 million or 1.3 million. Folks, come on. Come on. 700,000, 1 million? Come on. Come on. Family. 1960, 73% of children were living in two-parent first marriage families. 1980, 61% of children were living in two-parent first marriage families. 2014, 46% of children are living with two parents in a first marriage family. And I know a lot of folks have gotten divorces. And I'll tell you, my wife's not here right now. She's heard this one before, okay? She's not here. She was here this morning. But it's tough. Marriage is tough. It is hard. But it's hard for a reason. God puts two different creatures together who think a little bit differently, and I'm generalizing. Don't take me the wrong way, either side of this, okay? We both think a little bit differently on some things in a general sense. And when you put that together, you're going to have to work on some stuff. When I got married, I thought I was a great Christian. Then I woke up and realized how many things I needed to work on. And I mean that honestly. You talk to my wife later. Okay, she'll be here all week too. Okay, she certainly has some information for you. Okay? There's a new stat they're putting into these statistics now. The new stat is children living with two cohabitating parents. Now, in the 50s and 60s, they didn't have that category. But in 2014, they have that category now. Children living with cohabitating parents. It was about 7%. Okay? So let's drop that number even further down. Now, again, I'm not getting on people who've had divorces. Because believe me, it's tough. It's tough. Just remember, God forgives that. God forgives that. And keep working. If you are remarried, keep working. Work hard. Get counseling. Do all you can to stay with it. Work as hard as you can. Make that effort. Even when you don't feel like it. Because there's times I don't feel like it. But you know what keeps me going? What it says. What it says. What it says. What it says. And I let those feelings go and I move on and I work at it and I work at it. I keep digging and working. Try not to dig a hole, Wayne. Okay? Try not to dig a hole. Digging something useful. Keep working. Keep working. How about this one? Belief in God. Belief in God. Are we trending towards Him or away from Him? 1950s, United States. United States, that's what I'm talking about. We claim to be the most Christian nation in the world. We have that mantle. We've got it on us, folks. And there's a lot you got to watch out for if you've got that mantle, as Israel and Judah found out. Statistics, belief in God, 1950s. 90%. Of U.S. citizens claim to believe in God in the 1950s, in the good old USA. 2007, 78% of United States citizens claim to be Christian in 2007. 78. Folks, 2014, only 7 years later, only 70% of United States citizens claim to be Christian. That's a drop of 8% in 7 years. 50s into 60s, it was kind of holding steady. Now again, I say claim to be Christian. That number's going down, folks. That number's fallen. Non-Christian religion, 2007, United States, 4.7% of the population. Non-Christian religion, 2014, United States, 5.9% of the population. Now, you might say that's small. Yes, but notice it's jumped 1.2% in 7 years. And what is the trend? Where are we headed? Deuteronomy 30. Reality check. You claim to be Christian. You claim to follow me. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Yeah, I'm in the Old Testament law, right? What did he say in Matthew 5? It's not done away, folks. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Deuteronomy 30, 11. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. And isn't that true about our country? Bibles everywhere. Televangelists everywhere. Bookstores everywhere. And don't those politicians talk it up? Don't they talk it up? Let's go back to what the Word says. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away or bow down to other gods and worship them. And folks, what are we pushing in this country these days? You see the bumper stickers, coexist. And there's a cross or symbol for every religion. Coexist. And listen, I can coexist with a Muslim living next door to me, and I'll treat him as good as I treat you, because that's the Christian thing to do. But if we start talking God, I'm going to tell him Allah is not God. And this is why I believe that. And I'm not going to say it angry or emotional. I'm just going to say it matter of fact. And I'm going to explain to him why I believe that. And I'm going to tell him, prove me wrong. What did Israel do? They coexisted. They mixed the religion. They mixed it up real good. They mixed it up real good. And what happened? What happened to Israel? What happened to Judah? You guys know the story. It's right here, folks. Life or destruction to those who claim my mantle and then don't follow what I tell them to do. So how might it come down? Well, I don't know for sure. Let me preface anything I'm going to say right now. I don't know for sure, folks. But let's just look at some trends geopolitically in my remaining moments here. Brexit. What happened immediately after Brexit, and I read a number of these articles, was France, Germany, other nations that were still part of the European Union, you know what they said? We need to start building our military up. There are a number of articles out there, you can read them. They're all over the internet. Interesting. Interesting for those of you that have a background in this church, in that idea. Interesting that the rest of the European Union is beginning to realize, wow, we might need to build our military up. For the first time that I can remember, a major candidate has talked about moving away from NATO. That's something you aren't supposed to do. At least, geopolitically speaking, all the intelligentsia will tell you that over the years of politics in the United States, you don't move away from NATO. But for the first time, a major candidate is talking like that. What's that going to lead to in the future? I believe more candidates talking like that. If you become one of the two main ones, people seem to be okay with that. At least a large amount of people seem to be okay with it. Interesting. So are we trending towards the U.S. moving away? I don't know. But it's something that is in the mix right now. Now let's talk about the U.S. for a moment. Most mighty military in the world right now. You cannot deny that. It's going to be difficult for anyone to destroy the United States if we have the most mighty military in the world. Nuclear weapons. Come on. How will that happen? Well, a meteor could hit the earth. A caldera could explode in the west of the United States. Again, I don't know. But let's deal with that military point in a moment. Nuclear technology. North Korea. 4.3 kiloton bomb about 10 years ago. Then since that time, 4.9 kiloton bomb. This year, they exploded a 10 kiloton nuclear weapon. They're getting better at it. They're actually shooting missiles out of submarines now and trying to develop that technology in North Korea. Now, why do I mention North Korea? Because they're a rogue state. We don't know what's going on in the mind of the leader over there. 32-year-old guy, 31-year-old guy. His dad and his dad. And they have nuclear weapons. Now, 10 kiloton? Nagasaki and Hiroshima were 15 kiloton. It's not too far away from destroying an entire city. If they could deliver that. They're getting better at missile technology. They can't reach the United States yet, but they're working hard over the last 10 years, folks, and they are getting better at it. But did you know that Pakistan already has 120 nuclear weapons? And I mentioned Pakistan. You might say, well, they do work with the U.S. Well, yeah, when it's of their interest, they'll work with the U.S. But there is a radical, religious, Islamic, Sunni Muslim element in Pakistan like nowhere else in the world. They are in the Pakistani military. They are in the Pakistani security services. 120 nukes right now as we speak. What if some crazy individual took over the Pakistani government somehow? You say, it's never going to happen. Anything's possible in this world, folks. When there's a great spiritual force who wants this world to go crazy. Just something to think about. If we unexpectedly got hit in a couple major cities by nuclear weapons. Now you might say, that's not going to happen. I can get that that's very unlikely to happen, but 9/11 also happened. Iran, the reason people were so concerned with Iran having nuclear technology, and that is on hold right now, we have to be honest, that is on hold right now. But there are government officials in Iran who believe in a Mahdi coming to this world to help bring about the end of time. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad believed this philosophy that maybe it's okay if the government pushes that along. Now, he's no longer the leader in Iran. But I just want you to understand that some of these people have been leaders of country who had a philosophy that they want the end to come. Because that brings what they see as the truth and the final cataclysm, which will bring salvation. Now, we know from the Bible, Jesus Christ is going to handle that. We don't need to bring it on. We need to do the right thing in our Christian walk day by day. How about the economy? 2008, folks. You know how close we were. Read the books. They're out there. Do you know how close we were to the economy of the United States tanking completely? Do you know how close we were? We were that close. We were that close. And that was 8 years ago, folks. And people say, oh, they put in some documents and wording and that type of thing can't happen today. It can't happen today. There were people who said that couldn't happen in 2008. And we were that close to the economy of this nation tanking. And if our economy tanks, folks, what happens to the world? Yeah, they still have belief in the good old USA. Chinese are buying up our treasuries. They're still buying them. They believe in the USA. But will they always believe in the USA? Over the last 5 years, there's finally discussion out there that, hey, let's not set up the universal currency as the dollar. Maybe it should be the yuan, the Chinese currency. There's talk out there like that. And you can read on the internet those who say that a $20 trillion debt is not a big deal because we can keep printing money. And, you know, it's sometimes it's good for the economy to have all that debt. That's what some people will tell you on the internet. But just ask yourself, as the debt continues to increase to unbelievable astronomical numbers, does it make sense that that's okay? I wonder about that. But I'm not worrying about it. Rome fell, folks, for a number of reasons. Overexpansion and military overspending was one of them. The United States pays more each year for their military than any other country. In fact, we pay three times more than China, which is number two. $610 billion, that is billion, we're spending for our military. Now, maybe that's a good thing, okay? China's number two right now, and they're three times smaller in spending. Another reason Rome fell, economic trouble and over-reliance on slave labor. Just giving you some statistics. Another reason Rome fell, invasions by barbarian tribes over time. Didn't all happen at once. Over time, the barbarians continually poked at Rome, poked at Rome, poked at Rome. That was part of the reason they eventually fell. Anybody thinking about terrorism today? 9/11, the war on terror. Let's get them. Al-Qaeda. Snuff out Al-Qaeda. What happened? Folks, we have more worries about terrorism today than we did after we began to sack Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We are spending tremendous amounts of money to fight terror, and we have one guy here and one guy there, a little over here, a little over there. Nothing like 9/11, but that issue is at the forefront of the nightly news every night. Right now, they're fighting in Mosul. I believe ISIS will be defeated in Mosul. I believe they will be defeated in Raqqa. But I thought that 2 years ago when they took Raqqa and they took Mosul. I didn't believe they were going to hold on to it. And we're doing it mainly with Kurds, mainly with the Iraqi army, and mainly with some indigenous Sunni tribes there, as it should be done, I believe. Let's let them do that. Let's give them support. But are we going to kill more of our boys and girls for another war in the Middle East? Do we want that? Because if we keep doing that, folks, we are debilitating ourselves. That's what Rome did. Rome overexpanded, and they couldn't keep it going. That helped lead to their demise. Who's the world's policeman? And some politicians tell you we must be the world's policeman. You decide. Another reason Rome fell: government corruption and political instability. Let me take a long drink of water on that one. Government corruption and political instability. I live in D.C., folks, or near D.C. It's crazy. It's crazy. We aren't getting anything done because we're at each other's throats. The rise of a new faith helped lead to the demise of Rome. That faith was Christianity. Folks, coexistence with other faiths as they begin to grow in this country, because the stats are telling us they're beginning to grow in this country. And again, when I was 30 years ago, I thought I was going to live at the time of the end. I can't say that and be sure about it today. But I see the trends, folks. The trends are right there for you. A last fact about Rome: the demise of their military also led to the demise of Rome. And as I said before, the United States right now, no doubt about it, has the strongest military in the world. You cannot deny that fact. As long as that's the fact, and there's nothing cataclysmic, economic, that helps lead to our demise, that's an interesting one to keep your eye on. The demise of our military. Because in Rome, it happened as they began to hire mercenaries, and then their soldiers were not as loyal to Rome as the ones who were really citizens of Rome were. Just wanted to give you some of that information. I'll leave you with two scriptures, folks. Jeremiah 3:17-18. Jeremiah 3:17-18. As we started on this topic, Jeremiah 3:17-18. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. Now, folks, has that happened yet? No. What are we reading about here? We're reading kingdom time, folks. Let me read on. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah will join the house of Israel Folks, this is a prophecy. Judah will join Israel. Now, whatever you think about British-Israeli theory, this Bible says Judah will join Israel. And what that's telling me is it hasn't happened yet. The nation of Israel today is not Judah joining Israel that I'm reading about in your Bible right now. You can't deny that one either. Come and talk to me if you can. I'll listen to you. I want to hear how you figure that one out. But this is a good story, folks. In those days, the house of Judah will join the house of Israel, and together they will come from a northern land to the land I gave your forefathers as an inheritance. That's awesome, folks. Just as awesome as my last scripture, Revelation 11 and verse 15. Now, I've been laying the woe on you this afternoon, okay? There's another side to this. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday. So if you're around on Sunday, I want to uplift you a little bit as you start to leave the feast. But we got to be real with each other, okay? But here's a little more reality. Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." Folks, it's always darker before the dawn, but there is a dawn coming.